Jasmine.
Hi, Jasmine.
Hi,
He hasn't come.
Hannah.
He's not on yet.
Okay, well, I'm going to mute.
Okay.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
I see you made it back.
Yes.
I hope everything went well.
Yeah. Jasmine's on too. She just muted.
I'm sorry?
I said, Jasmine is
Jasmine.
On too. She just muted the phone.
Oh, okay. Please join me in saying the Anna Bakoa.
Let me mute.
Anna Bakoa. Gedula Chimin Fa. Ta. Gimel Yutat Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagvenu Taharenu Nora Kufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudcha Kiva Sham Rem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin Barchen Tacharem Rachame Tzidkatcha Tamid Gamlen Betet Reish Sadi Taf Gimel Chasim Kadosh Erov Tucha Nael Adada Tet Kufet Tet Nunayim Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zofre Kirushatach Yud Gimelamed Hey Zion Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Tzadiyotaf. The letters of the month of Tammuz. The Taf that created the planet Lavana, the planet we call the moon. And the Het that created the constellation Sartan, the crab, the astrological sign of Cancer. We have brought the energy of creation into our space, and now we are going to separate between the right column and the left column energy of that creation, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohei Wahei, Adonai Yohei Wahei, El Rachum V'chanun, Erch Apayim, V'rav Chesed Be'emet, Notzer Chesed La'alafim, Noseaon Wafesha, V'chata'av V'nakei. We're now going to connect to the year of the goat energy, the year 5777, with two verses. The first of these two verses that we study is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. And we will start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem yichud kudsha barichu yishkin te bitfilu urfimu tfilu tfilu urfimu le'ata l'shem yud he b'vav he v'yichudah shalim b'shem kol Yisrael limud Torah mitzvah la'sok Torah mitzvah Vayhi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunaneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kunanehu. Tzod Tzaduni Katzipor O Yevai Shinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to say Tzatzki Ach, which translates as appear like brothers. And when we take the final letters of these words, we're able to say Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that connects to the energy of the goat, it's Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. This verse has the name of the year, Tashin Anan Zion, concealed within it, and the letters of the name are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai Yohewahe Elohechem Tadebaku Kasher Asitem Ad Hayom Hazeh. The year 5776, known as the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to that energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat velo yachlu lehashit et kol ha'olot vayahaskum. Achechem ha'levim ad kelo tamlacha v'ad yitkachu ha'kohanim ki ha'levim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me'ha'kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe Lalahe Wawawa Yolayo Alame Hey 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 Aka Rekaha. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai Yohewahe Ade Ad Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohewahe Tzur Olamim. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are three verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishem imeni lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Then the verse from 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru, Udu, Mikol Hamachavoyam, Asher Yitchabe Sham Wishavtem, Eli El Nachon, Wehalati Yitchem, Wehayim Yeshno. Varetz v'hipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. Kagelo la netzach yoved roav yom ruayo. The year 5774 has the energy of peace in the Middle East. There's only one verse that connects to this energy, and it's 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wasamti makom leami leYisrael tuuntal untati veshakan shak tachta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu vene avlala anoto kasher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It comes from Parasha Yitro, from Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Beka Matar Pane Man Dekucha Barichu Koma Deaved Leila Witata Kolaihu Kishot Biovata Dikshot Velela Mila Yama Divae Parnash Ledahya Leya Mineya Ulan Hadabeya Felana Dehakulu Ovada Dikshot Inun Wikola Itsterich. We're now going to connect to the energy of the 72 names of God. Please scan the first 7 rows of the chart. In row 8 and 9, we will say out loud using the root vowels of the letters. Nu me me yo yo la he re he me tsa re a me tsa re wa me be yo he he anu wa me he yo. Da me be me nu ko ayo ahe be wa re ahe yo be me he yo yo me wa me. And the 72 names of the Tzaddikim will follow the same pattern. Please scan the first 7 rows. In rows 8 and 9, we will say out loud. Nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re. Wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo. Da he be me ka ko a la a he 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 wa. Re la he yo yo me. Hey, la, yo, me, hey, me. And the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 24th day of Tammuz, there's only one, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef ben Rabbi Dov. And the 8th verse of the Ana B'Koach, we say it in a whisper. Our class tonight is continuing our series on the Third Temple. And we can find the Third Temple handouts on the Third Temple landing page, which is in row 10 of the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, the third column from the left, which is the second column from the right. When you open that up, scroll to class number 2. And this is where we will begin reading tonight. And I'm starting with the second paragraph. Our tradition teaches that the upper temple will descend to earth and will be completed by human beings and become the well-desired third temple. This sefer reveals many Kabbalistic aspects of the temple and the services performed within and around the temple. Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, who is the author of this sefer about the third temple, ever since his brief sojourn in this world in the early 1700s, Rabbi Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, the Ramchal, has been a faithful and beloved guide for generations of Jewish spiritual seekers. His admirers range from towering giants such as Rabbi Elijah, the Gaon of Vilna, to the growing thousands of present-day returnees to Judaism who are discovering in the Ramchal's works a living source of profound insight and inspiration. The Ramchal's classic exposition of the Torah path of spiritual development, known as the Misilat Yesharim, or in English, the Path of the Just, has for hundreds of years been accepted by all sections of the children of Israel and is part of the curriculum in many yeshivot and other centers of Torah study. With the publication of more and more of the Ramchal's other writings on Hashkafa, the Torah worldview, and Kabbalah, he is now being recognized as one of the outstanding Kabbalistic geniuses of all time. The Gaon of Vilna said he would have walked all the way to Italy from Vilna in Poland just to sit at the feet of the Ramchal. And I am adding, if I only lived at the same time as the Ramchal, then I would walk to Italy and sit at his feet to hear his words of wisdom. This is the meaning of the words of the Gaon de Vilna. The Gaon said that Ramchal was the only sage since the Ari who truly understood the Kabbalah. The contribution of Ramchal to Kabbalah has been compared to that of the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon, the Maimonides, to the Halakha, the Torah law. Out of the vast sea of Talmudic literature that only outstanding scholars could master, the Rambam distilled his comprehensive code of Torah law, the Mishneh Torah, an all-time model of clarity and order, easily understood even by a schoolboy. Similarly, Ramchal brought order and clarity to the labyrinth of Kabbalistic concepts and teachings in the writings of the Ari, producing a ladder of ascent and entry into its mysteries that can be used profitably by any serious student. My commentary. Kabbalah generally follows the following pattern once the second temple was destroyed. The Zohar and the teachings of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, followed by the Arizal and the teachings of the Etz Chaim. These teachings then were separated into four paths as follows. The teachings of the Gaon de Vilna, which is not well publicized today. It is meant to be concealed and teaches the ideas of Mashiach ben Yosef will be following these teachings, and it is energy-based, not necessarily a physical person. The teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, which teaches everyone needs to serve Hashem through joy and to learn Kabbalah when they are ready. The teachings of the Rashash and the Ben Ish Chai, which primarily is followed by the Sephardim today, and the teachings of Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag, which is taught today by the Kabbalah Center, and the students of Rabbi Leitman, who follows the son of Rabbi Ashlag. I'm returning to the translation. The Ramchal was born in Padua, Italy in 1707. The Ramchal was a childhood prodigy who quickly mastered not only the intricacies of the Talmud, and also other disciplines such as logic and rhetoric. He even wrote plays. At the age of 14, he produced a summary of the entire system of the Etz Chaim in 10 chapters, written in the style of the Mishnah. My commentary. Mishnah has the letters of the word neshama. These 10 chapters caused the neshama soul to connect to the Sefirot. The Etz Chaim and the teachings of the Arizal is in an incomplete order. The teachings of the Ramchal, the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov, and the teachings of Rabbi Ashlag all try to reformat the teachings of the Arizal for people who are connected to the same root of Adam as they are. Note, I did not say that they rewrote the teachings, but reorganized the teachings. Actually, some of their students do this reorganization, not necessarily themselves. An example is the Tanya that is written by a student of the Baal Shem Tov and is now followed by the Chabad organization. Returning to the comment, to my commentary, the Ramchal I'm returning to the English translation of the Sefer about the Third Temple. The Ramchal clearly attained all the levels of piety, purity, and Holy Spirit that he later elucidated in his Mesilat Yesharim. By the time he was 20, his Bet Midrash was a flourishing center of Kabbalistic study and devotion, while his sermons in the synagogues of Padua inspired many estranged Jews to return to their roots. But Ramchal's very success aroused the evil eye, and before long, he found himself at the center of a serious controversy over his public teaching of Kabbalah. What especially aroused the ire of his opponents were the reports that he received regular visits from Holy Souls and Magidim, spiritual guides at whose dictation he wrote entire books and discourses, including several in the style of the Zohar. The Jewish world was still suffering from, and I am adding, upset and chaos. Eruptions caused by Shabbatai Tzvi. His terrible perversion of Kabbalah only a generation or two earlier, providing extra fuel for the first fierce campaign of persecution waged against the Ramchal by leading figures in the community in Italy and beyond. At the height of the controversy, the Ramchal wrote to his teacher, Rabbi Yeshaya Basan, "My way is to nod my head at every wave that comes. No matter what those wicked people may say about me, it is of no more significance in my eyes than garlic peel. I am not disheartened. I pay no attention to them. I am not interested in honor or greatness. I will go in the purity of my heart within my house together with God, who has ever been my shepherd. As you can see, this is an unwritten commentary. As you can see from this paragraph, he had reached the level of serenity. For the sake of peace, Ramchal agreed to stop teaching and writing for a while. He said even he would allow his writings to be burned if it would help restore the peace. Just as the red heifer has to be burned in order for its ashes to be used to purify those defiled by contact with the dead. Before long, however, the Ramchal decided to leave Italy. And in 1737, at the age of 29, he moved to Amsterdam. There he was received with great respect. He supported himself by working as a lens grinder while writing some of the works for which he is best known, including The Path of the Just and Derech Hashem, The Way of God. Some years later, he decided to journey to the Holy Land, which is where he died in an outbreak of plague in Acre in 1747. He was 39. His grave, overlooking Tiberias, is adjacent to the burial cave of Rabbi Akiva, of whom Ramchal's students considered their master to have been a reincarnation. My commentary. In fact, almost all of the Kabbalistic writings of the Ramchal were burned. While I am not judging the Ramchal, that is not my job, I have enough to judge myself, and I find that sufficiently difficult. I just want to point out to my students what is written above. The Ramchal called the people who attached him evil people. My understanding of Torah is the waves, using the language from the Ramchal's letter, come from Hashem, and we need to perceive them as blessings, not curses, and the messengers as angels from Hashem giving us opportunities. This is not an easy path, nor an easy level of consciousness to reach. Yet it is a correct path, as I understand the Kabbalah. Kabbalistic writings. In his introduction to Derech Hashem, his systematic exposition of the fundamentals of Jewish faith, the Ramchal writes, organized knowledge of a subject and the interrelationship of its various parts is superior to disorganized knowledge, just as a beautiful garden arranged with beds of flowers, paths, and rows of plants is superior to a chaotically overgrown forest. Any given subject contains such a multitude of individual details that the human mind cannot contain them all. A person should always endeavor to grasp general principles. Each general principle includes numerous individual details. When a person understands one principle, he automatically understands a great number of details. What makes the study of the Ramchal's writings so rewarding is that whether dealing with Hashkafa, Torah worldview, Kabbalah, Talmudic logic, or anything else, he invariably provides crystal clear definitions and explanations of all the underlying concepts and categories and their interrelationships. Derech Hashem was in fact written as the first rung of a carefully devised ladder of ascent from general knowledge of the foundations of Jewish faith and belief to deep understanding of the Kabbalistic concepts that underlie them. The next rung in the ladder is Da'at Tevunot, which is translated as the knowing heart. Cast in the form of a philosophical dialogue between the intellect and the soul, this work explains all the basic contours of the Kabbalistic view of creation and its purpose, but without using Kabbalistic terminology. The third rung of the ladder consists of the Kelim Rishonim, the first principles, and Pirkei Chachma, the Da'at, the openings of wisdom and understanding, which present the entire array of Kabbalistic concepts that are written in the Etz Chaim in a clear, orderly way. The top rung of the ladder is Klach Pirkei Chachma, 138 openings of wisdom, an in-depth exploration of the meaning and significance of those concepts. My commentary. Please note, nowhere in the description of the order of these books does Rabbi Greenbaum use the word logical. This is because Kabbalah needs to be learned in an illogical order, that is, an orderly progression. It moves from the Bina consciousness to the Chachma consciousness and then returns, as the concept of running and returning expressed in the Sefer Yetzirah. The above are among over 90 works known to have been written by the Ramchal, besides others that may have been lost. His work includes commentary on the Bible, on the Zohar, and on the writings of the Ari, explanations of mystical devotions and corrections of prayers as collections of prayers, as well as works on logic, grammar, rhetoric, and Talmudic reasoning. Until today, numerous surviving works have never actually been printed. My commentary. Rabbi Philip Berg of the Kabbalah Center indicates that many of his writings are done to replace the writings of the Ramchal, since the Ramchal comes as an ibur to assist him in this process. This is an extended teaching that is given to a few students of the Kabbalah Center, but is not well known or taught to the general student population. The criteria for who is taught this material is not clear to me. Returning to the translation, Mesilat Yesharim has long been readily available, but until relatively recently, the few other works of Ramchal that were brought to press were often hard to find and poorly printed. Since the 1970s, a series of fine, accurate Hebrew editions of many of the Ramchal's most important works have been published through the efforts of the late Rabbi Chaim Friedlander and a number of other scholars, bringing them within easy reach of growing numbers of students. In addition, the Ramchal is now accessible to those who do not know Hebrew through the translations of The Path of the Just, The Way of God, and The Knowing Heart, as well as some of his works on logic and reasoning. And I am adding, as well as the Azamra.com translation of 138 Gates, which is a commentary on the last word of the Chumash, similar to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's Tikkuni Zohar being a commentary on the first word of the Chumash, Bereshit. A miracle of providence. It is one of the great miracles of providence and a sign of God's love and compassion for the Jewish people that we have in our possession today the work translated in this volume called or known as Mishkanei Elyon. The Ramchal mentions the work by name in a letter he wrote to his teacher, Rabbi Yeshaya Basan, in 1729. This was at the height of the fury against the Ramchal, when his opponents sought to burn his writings and prevent him writing anymore. The date of the letter indicates that the Ramchal was no more than 22 years old when he wrote this work. Another contemporary reference is contained in a letter by Rabbi Yitzhak Pacifico of Venice, who mentions that the Ramchal wrote an explanation of Ezekiel's vision of the temple and of the heavenly temple, which is called Mishkanei Elyon. The work was not printed during the Ramchal's lifetime, and nothing is known about what happened to it thereafter, until a single manuscript, the only known copy of the work in existence, came to light in 1956 in the Bodleian Library in Oxford in a bundle of unidentified Kabbalistic manuscripts. The manuscript in question did not bear the name of its author, but the scholar, Professor Yeshaya Tishbi, identified it as the work of the Ramchal. The manuscript itself is thought to be in the hands of Ramchal's leading student, Rabbi Shlomo David Trevis. Mishkanei Elyon was transcribed by Rabbi Yosef Spinner, who divided it into titled sections and added explanatory notes. The text was printed for the first time in 1980 in Ginze Ramchal, a volume of Ramchal's Kabbalistic writings, published in Israel by the late Rabbi Chaim Friedlander. That edition included a short introduction by Rabbi Friedlander. Rabbi Spinner's notes and a plan of the Third Temple, prepared by Rabbis Moshe Devir and Yosef Lipschitz. At the request of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a new edition of the Mishkanei Elyon was published in a separate volume in 1993 by the Ramchal Institute in Jerusalem. This edition contains an introduction by Rabbi Mordechai Sherekhi, the director of the Institute, together with his commentary on the five chapters. The Heavenly Temple. The Ramchal clearly explains the purpose of the Mishkanei Elyon in his opening words. My purpose in this work is to discuss the subject of the Heavenly Temple, mentioned by our sages to explain its form and structure in all their various details, and to show how the earthly temple is in direct alignment with it in its structure and all its dimensions. The heavenly temple is mentioned in a number of places in rabbinic literature. In the Talmud, we find Rabbi Yochanan said, "The Holy One, blessed be He, declared, 'I will not enter the heavenly Jerusalem until I enter the earthly Jerusalem.'" Is there then a heavenly Jerusalem? Yes, as is written in Psalms, "Jerusalem will be built like the city that is joined to it together." The Zohar states, "The earthly sanctuary depends upon the upper sanctuary, and the upper sanctuary depends in turn upon another upper sanctuary, which is the most exalted of all. All of them are included in one another, and this is the meaning of the verse, 'And the sanctuary was one.'" This statement of the Zohar indicates that there are two heavenly sanctuaries, one above the other. This explains the phrase from Psalms, which the Ramchal took as the title of his work, Mishkene Elyon. The phrase is contained in the following verse: "There is a river whose streams bring joy to the city of God, the holy place of the dwellings of the Supreme, Mishkene Elyon." The Hebrew phrase Mishkene Elyon could also be translated as "the sanctuaries above." Alluding to the two heavenly sanctuaries mentioned by the Zohar. The lower of these two heavenly sanctuaries is mentioned in a Midrashic comment on the verse, "And it came to pass on the day that Moses completed erecting the sanctuary." Rabbi Shimon said, "At the time when the Holy One, blessed be He, told the Jewish people to erect the sanctuary, He hinted to the ministering angels that they too should make a sanctuary. When the sanctuary was erected in the lower world, this angelic sanctuary was erected above. This is the sanctuary of the lad, the angel whose name is Memtet, where he offers the souls of the tzaddikim in order to atone for Israel during their time of exile." This passage from the Zohar quoted earlier indicates that even higher than the heavenly sanctuary of the angels stands another sanctuary. This supreme heavenly temple is the subject of the Ramchal's Mishkene Elyon. Of it he writes, "This holy house was created before the universe, for it is from this house that all created beings receive their power and sustenance. This is the temple that Ezekiel saw in his vision, and it is the prototype of the third temple, which will be an actual physical structure in this world." My commentary. There is a lot of information provided in this section. Let us try to put it into perspective. There are three heavenly temples. There are four physical temples. The books we are reading and discussing are the highest level temple. The seven temples consist of one, the structure described in the Mishkene Elyon, which is in the temple in the world of Atzilut. Two, the temple sanctuary of the angels, which is in the world of Briah, and the angel Memtet. The first and second temples, the two Mishkans, one in the desert and one in Gilgal. And five, the final third temple. I have never heard which temple sanctuary goes with which sephirah. The structure of the Mishkene Elyon. The work begins with an explanation of the relationship between the heavenly temple and its counterpart, the earthly temple, which is a holographic image of the heavenly temple and emanates from it. The Ramchal clarifies the differences between the first, second, and third temples on earth, explaining, among other things, why Ezekiel already saw the vision of the third temple at the time of the destruction of the first, and why the divine presence did not dwell in the second temple. The Ramchal then proceeds with a step-by-step tour of the various parts of the sanctuary, the temple courtyards, the gates and other buildings as seen by Ezekiel in his vision. In each case, the Ramchal explains how the form and the very dimensions of each place are bound up with the corresponding spiritual lights, the Sephirot and the holy names in the upper worlds. In the second part of the work, the Ramchal explains the order of the temple service, and in particular, the secret of the sacrifices. Every day, the lower realms need to draw close to the upper realms in order that the branches should be connected to the roots. This way, the angels are bound to their roots and the souls to theirs. It is the animal offering that brings the angels close, while the incense offering brings the souls close. The Ramchal's account of how the branches of creation reconnect with their roots through the temple service fulfills his promise to the reader at the outset of the book to lay these matters before you in a single, all-inclusive introductory work that will enable you to understand the way the world is run, and how God gives each one's portion of food and sustenance to all his creatures, each in its proper time. The Ramchal's explanation of the sacrificial service also throws light on the deeper meaning and Kabbalistic intentions of the daily prayer services, which correspond to the regular temple sacrifices, and in times of exile take their place. My commentary. Most people think they understand what the Ramchal is saying, yet the idea of the animal sacrifice is feeding the angels is not easy to understand. Also, most people think that there are certain times of the day to pray and do other rituals. These times relate to the root and branch discussion and the language of branches, which is a foreign teaching to most religious people. We're going to continue reading a few more minutes. The five chapters. After the end of the main body of the Ramchal's discourse in Mishkanei Elyon, he says, I will now provide a concise, orderly account of all the measurements of the temple and its courtyards in all their details in five chapters. He follows with five chapters written in the tersely elegant style of the Mishnah, summarizing the plan and measurements of all the different temple buildings, courtyards, gates, steps, etc. These five chapters have many parallels to the five chapters of the Mishnaic tractate Midot, which explains the plan of the second temple. The Ramchal's five chapters also bear certain resemblances to the Rambam's account of the second temple in his Mishneh Torah, the Hilchot Beit HaBechira. Thus, at the end of the Mishkanei Elyon, as in quite a number of his other works, the Ramchal performs the invaluable service of providing his readers with a clear, concise summary of the entire contents of the main work. Keys to the Third Temple. We will stop here and pick up tomorrow in our 7 o'clock class. Does anyone have any questions? Tomorrow at 1:30, we will have a Tikkun Rachel class. At 4:30, a mini Zohar class. And at 7 o'clock, we will continue where we left off today. I bid you all a good day, a day filled with shalom, with peace, with understanding, and with joy. Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.